Sanctuary Cities. We begin there right now.
Of entertainment and enlightenment. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
I was in San Francisco a few months ago. I grew up in Seattle, Washington, and San Francisco is very much feels feels like home in so many ways. And I happened to be listening to Journey, and there's nothing like hearing when the lights go down in the city and the sun shines on the bay, and you're actually on the dock and the sun is going down. Perfect summer evening. As the sun is going down in San Francisco. Ocean breeze, temperature hovering around 73 degrees as it usually is. Perfect ending of the day. Remember those days when we were kids and everything was just perfect? This is exactly what the day was like when Kate and her dad, Jim, decided to go down to the pier and then just go for a quick walk and then head on over to her brother's house, because her brother and sister-in-law had just discovered that they were carrying a baby girl, and Grandpa was going to find out. And so Kate said to her dad, Grandpa, without knowing, hey, we're going to go to Jim's house, or we're going to go to my brother's house, and they have a surprise for you, Dad, but let's just go down the pier. And the sun shines on the bay. They were taking a stroll. This Pier 14, full of tourists as usual, musicians, skateboarders, everybody is out in San Francisco. And they're just, everybody is just soaking it in. People who are coming from all over the country who are just taking pictures as they look at the seals who are down by the edge of the pier. Everything is this idyllic summer moment, with an exception of one thing: the angry man with a gun. A shot's fired from somewhere on the pier. Kate falls into her dad's arms. She's been shot in the back. Dad, confused, doesn't really even understand what's going on, except his daughter has just collapsed. As he grabs her, he sees the blood on his hands from her back, lays her down there on the pier. People are screaming. He screams, "My daughter's been shot." A passerby comes by. Several police officers were nearby. Nobody sees the shooter. Nobody knows who the shooter is. Kate, who is the one who said, "Dad, let's just go for a walk on the pier." Thank God it wasn't the other way around. How, as a dad, you'd be able to live with yourself if you were the one who said, "Hey, before we go, let's just go for a walk." She looked at her dad and just said, "Help me, Dad, help me." That was the last thing she would ever say. She died a short time later after the ambulance had arrived. They started to rush her to the hospital. She did most of her dying on the sidewalk there as the sun sat on the bay. So who's the shooter? The shooter, you know this story. The shooter was a Mexican national. His name was Francisco Sanchez. He was found about an hour later. He was here in the U.S. illegally. He had been convicted of felonies 7 times in the United States. Felony, 7 times. He had been deported 5 times. He was just paroled in Texas. Admitted that he moved to San Francisco because they had a sanctuary city policy. He wasn't going to get harassed. That's why he moved. Once in San Francisco, he knew he'd be sheltered by the local authorities. He would never have to be deported or hassled again. And so, when the lights went down on the city, he grabbed his gun and headed for the bay. A few months earlier, March, he was turned over to San Francisco police for an outstanding drug warrant. ICE requested that they be notified prior to his release so the ICE officers could take him into custody because ICE knew that this guy was dangerous. Felonies over and over and over again. ICE wanted to take him off the street and send him back home, but that's why he moved there. He got to get out of Texas because Texas kind of, sort of, occasionally will arrest you. But being the sanctuary for illegal aliens, San Francisco police officers, they refused. They just released Sanchez. Quick, get out of here. Cheese it. It's the cops. As a direct result of the sanctuary city policy, let me say that again. As a direct result of the sanctuary city policy, Kate will never get to see her brother's baby girl. We'll never ever get to walk down the San Francisco pier again on a hot summer night with her father's hand in hers. Cade will never have a child of her own because she was murdered by somebody who shouldn't have been in this country in the very first place. Isn't that what a government is supposed to do with all of the signs that they require people to have, like on lawnmowers, do not use on roof? Isn't that because they're there to protect us? So that lawnmower shouldn't have been on the roof in the first place. When somebody gets a haircut because a lawnmower came off the roof, because somebody was using it on the roof as a snowblower. And so that's what they spend their time to protect us. Because you don't know, somebody might use that lawnmower as a snowblower. That lawnmower has no place on the roof. Quick, let's force them to put a sign there. Here's an illegal alien that shouldn't have been in the country. But our government wants to remind you that snowblowers and lawnmowers should not be used on the roof. But our government doesn't have a problem sheltering felons. Look, right now we're talking about sanctuary cities. And somebody asked me the other day, how can you get people to understand this is wrong? I don't know anymore, because some of the headlines today, hijab, now a symbol of feminism. How is that possible? A 5-year-old has been taken into custody because she was protecting the imaginary king in the imaginary kingdom with a stick, which of course we all know is a Class 2 look-alike firearm. So I don't know how to convince anyone. Maybe the story of Kate convinces someone. But just in case you might think that this Kate story, oh, there they go. They're taking one story out of context. Between 2008 and 2014, 40% of all murder convictions in Florida were committed by criminal illegal aliens. 40% of all murder convictions in Florida, criminal illegal aliens. In New York, it's 34%. In Arizona, it's 17.8%. Overall, 38% of all murder convictions in California, Texas, Arizona, Florida, and New York, over 38% are all from illegal aliens who only constitute 5.6% of the total population of those same states. We got a problem. You want to know why we don't have sanctuary cities? It has nothing to do with the children who we all love and want to have grow up and have a better life. We all come from immigrants. We all came here one way or another for some reason, and it wasn't to murder people. You want to know why sanctuary cities are wrong? According to Texas Department of Public Safety, foreign aliens committed 611,234 unique crimes in Texas alone, including murder and sexual assaults. Also, another study just concluded, 7,500 Americans are killed by a drunk, illegal alien driver every single year. If we could stop just one of these things, wouldn't it be worth it? I don't know how to convince people who want sanctuaries for criminals and a safe zone to silence thought. I don't know how you convince those people. But perhaps you can use these stats or the story of Kate to convince some people that have not gone over the edge into the world of magical thinking that sanctuary cities are wrong.
The Glenn Beck Program.
888-727-BECK.
There's a story out today about San Francisco, about how the city is standing up and saying, we're a sanctuary city and
they're suing the Trump administration.
Yeah.
They claim it violates federalism and makes their city less safe. Seattle and San Francisco.
They are suddenly for state rights? Is that what I'm hearing?
Yes, they are.
Okay,
yes,
I thought that was racist. I think that's very racist for them to say that.
Both Seattle and San Francisco are claiming that it makes their cities less safe to enforce.
That doesn't make any sense.
It's so ridiculous. They claim that the people won't report crimes if they're afraid that they'll be arrested and deported.
Well, I can see that, and it is less safe for the illegal aliens, which is a reason why you don't come to a country
illegally.
That, yes, you're right. If you're here illegally, you won't report a crime of somebody who's done something to you. You're right. That I've seen that in a million movies. When you've mm-hmm. done something wrong, the bad guys will play on you. Yep, that's right.
Well, and that's what happens in every case with illegal aliens. They're taken advantage of, aren't they?
Yes, they are.
They're taken advantage with poor wages. They're mm-hmm. taken advantage of in housing. They're taken advantage of with the law.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, but it's true. But they put
themselves in that situation.
But somehow it's the nice side of this argument to say that should continue.
Right.
They should be able to continually be taken advantage of with lower wages and all of these things that are true. Wouldn't the proper way to go is to make sure that people don't come here illegally, and then you don't have to deal with that?
Yes.
That's probably the better option. Probably the better option.
I have to see if my daughter can use the world's largest and most expensive paging system in the world. See if Mary can. Can somebody call up to Mary in the vault and see if she can find this booklet on citizenship from 1914, 1941. And it is the book that if you were coming in, you crossed the border and you wanted to be an American citizen, it's the book that you received. Found something in it yesterday that'll blow your mind. Absolutely blow your mind how far we have fallen off the tree and rolled down the street and around the corner, rolled onto a boat, crossed the ocean. We are so far away from where we used to be, sense.
I'm surprised our you know, Dallas, Texas isn't involved in these lawsuits. I mean, they're the same. Mayor Rawlings is doing the same thing in Dallas.
I'm sure they will be.
They all will be.
Sure they will be.
And I hope that
the school district did their welcoming and safe resolution.
I hope that
it's agonizing.
I hope that we have that the Trump administration doesn't give on this.
I know.
I mean, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. We hope so too.
We have some couple of things on that, in that they're doing. They're now saying the White House is signaling it can live without border wall funds.
How is that possible?
White House indicated Wednesday that President Trump could go along with a government funding bill that does not include money to begin building his proposed wall on the U.S.-Mexico border.
Again, how does that work?
Wait, I thought the wall was going to be built and it was going to be a big, beautiful wall.
Yeah, but it is.
A big, beautiful door.
So he's going to get the money maybe from...
From Mexico.
From Mexico first.
Okay.
Maybe that's it.
Maybe
he's got that.
By the way, today he officially threatened the Freedom Caucus. These are the constitutionalists. These are the people that we've always... He's threatened them after the health care disaster, blamed it on them. And
this is not true. We should point out yet again, there were more non-Freedom Caucus votes against this bill than there were Freedom Caucus votes against this bill. That is very important for everyone to understand. Paul Ryan and Donald Trump are going out of their way not to acknowledge that there were 18 Republicans who voted against it that were not in the Freedom Caucus and only 15 who were. They are not telling you that because they want you to believe a narrative that conservatives are the problem.
We'll see how long it lasts, though, because there was a big story today that the people that voted against it are going back to their districts and the people are happy with them.
Happy with them. Well, I mean, the bill was completely unpopular and it was a terrible bill and everybody knows it. So, I mean, I don't know if this is going to work or not.
I don't know either. I mean, how do you attack the people that voted against it when it's, you know, the people back home are saying good?
Good.
Well, there's also the story today. I'm looking for it. The story today on how's the wall even going to be built? And I'm reading.
Are you talking about the one about the park?
No, well, that's part of it.
Yep, there's a
park. Yeah, because it butts up to a park, and they can't build it there. Well, you can't build it near a park. I mean, we knew that, right?
Well, the story that I had a whole list
of... You
can't
build it near a park?
No,
what?
No.
Come on. You can't build it in tough places either where there's terrain problems. Build it there.
There was a story today about how much of Arizona is tough terrain. And so
you can't build it there.
Can't build it there. You can't build it.
Can't
on
build
the
it
Texas.
Near the water, the Rio Grande.
Texas, that's the border.
You're not going to cede the water to them.
Right.
You can't build it there.
Can't build it there.
You can't build it in dangerous places. Somebody could get hurt. You can't build it there.
Yeah.
This
border wall is falling apart, and now Trump says,
insane.
"Well, I'll pass a budget without the border wall in it." Mm-hmm. But we're still somehow or another
going to get it there.
Going to get it done.
This is the Glenn Beck Program. Mercury. The Glenn Beck Program.
Here's the latest from the EU. The president of the EU just said Donald Trump's been promoting Brexit. Well, let me tell you something, Donald Trump. You keep up with that talk, and I'm going to start promoting the secession of Texas and Ohio.
Whoa.
Okay.
I would tell him, go ahead.
Go ahead.
I
have nothing against Ohio.
I feel pretty
Ohio,
safe.
But...
That's not going to happen, though, right? I mean, that's
Well,
I
feel pretty
happen.
Safe because if it did, I'm in Texas, so I'm pretty cool with that.
Yes,
and
that's
nothing
true.
Against Ohio. You want to do your own thing, Ohio. Go do your own thing. I'm cool with that.
Plus, Brexit's already a done deal, right? I mean, that's what's already done.
They've sent the letters. They're going to try to sabotage this.
They did file the official divorce papers.
Yeah.
So
but
that is in process.
It's an ugly breakup. The other spouse wants to stay married, and if I can't have you, no one will. It's that kind of boil a bunny kind of relationship on Brexit. So I'm so it's really interesting because we've talked about this for the last few days. We're really to the point of like, it's kind of like you follow a fire engine and it gets to a house, but it's not your house. and everybody's safe, and you're like, huh, look at that. Whoa, look at that beam coming down.
That is quite a fire.
That, look at that. Oh, my gosh. The whole front of the house is about to collapse. Whoa.
Nobody's
cool.
I'm kind of like that. Nobody's in there, right?
Right.
Right. Look at that thing burn.
Yeah. As long as you know nobody's going to hurt. And unfortunately, in this case, millions are going to get hurt. And, you know, almost everyone within the sound of my voice is going to be in massive pain. But watching it now, because you're like, what are you going to do about it? Watching it now is truly remarkable. To see Donald Trump come out today, remember, he threw a punch to the right, what was it, last weekend, and everybody's like, oh, no, he's going to back off of that, right? Today, he threw another solid punch, and he told the right, anybody who's a constitutionalist,
he's going to fight you.
You're the problem. And you get on board right now because I'm going to the Democrats.
Of course he's going to the... He's got Ivanka in the White House with him as an official advisor now. She's a liberal Democrat.
Remember when we used to say we didn't buy two for one and this was wrong of the president to bring his wife in? Here we have this president bringing his... Not only his son-in-law and his daughter...
Who are both liberal Democrats.
But... Doesn't he still have the head of his own private security as the head of his security over Secret Service?
Oh, I don't know.
I think he does.
I don't know.
That's possible. That was supposed to happen right until he moved completely out of New York, right?
I think that
Which they have not moved completely out of New York.
Mm. Yeah. I mean, and what you've seen here, I think, is for conservatives has been so far a mixed bag, but going in the wrong direction, trending very poorly.
Well, the one thing we've gotten so far is Gorsuch.
No.
And you've had a couple of others.
And we don't have it yet.
We're still in the store.
Yes. Yeah, we should point out
that.
That's
the kid. Hang on just a second. We're the kid whose mom is around the corner, and you're with dad, and you've just pulled off the Cocoa Puffs, and you're like, dad, Cocoa Puffs. And he's like, I'm fine with that. Cool. Just put it in the deal.
Ask your mom.
Mom hasn't come around the corner yet. You got dad there, but dad will eat the Cocoa Puffs with you. That's Gorsuch. He's our Cocoa Puffs. When mom comes around the corner, let's see how hard dad fights for the Cocoa Puffs.
And that's really what we talked about before the election. Yeah. But we haven't seen that yet, and we obviously hope that one comes through. There's been other things like the Keystone Pipeline, and there's been some good environmental stuff that has happened. There have been some
positive. Trump supporters will say that's enough. That's better than Hillary. So that's why I voted for him. It's a valid point. Things are going generally crappy other than that, they're right about that. If we get Gorsuch, that's huge.
Yes.
Yeah, and might be worth, depending on how bad things get, might be worth 4 years, not eight, but 4 years of, you got to be kidding me. Repealing Obamacare. Right. How can you not repeal Obamacare?
This is an old argument, though, right? I mean, the bottom line is you have to judge him on what he's doing. And I think it's fair to judge him as a Republican president. I mean, certainly you would not accept many of the things we've seen from George Bush or Jeb Bush or any other.
Oh, my gosh.
Right.
Jermaine. I was attempting to do your Jackson.
Tito, Marlon, and Jermaine.
Yes. Any of the Bushes that happen to be in that.
Right. It's not better than Marlon Jackson. It's not better.
But he was the black sheep of the family. I mean, Marlon was a sensible one, So I'm just saying.
And he has no allegiance to these policies at all. I mean, when they had the health care debate going on, the Freedom Caucus came in and asked for some things. Some they got, some they didn't. But the reason they got them is because Trump didn't care if they were in there or not. He wanted to have something that wasn't Obamacare. He wanted something that was his, and he could say that was a win. He didn't care what policy was in there. And that is the
so clear.
So he
and that
doesn't
is so
fight
clear.
For them, and that's why he goes to the Democrats now.
Anybody who says, "Well, I'm going to go to the Democrats," then he doesn't care about what's in that bill. He just wants the win.
He doesn't care. Would anyone who actually believes these things, say, "Well, I'll just go to the Democrats"?
Nope.
Would anyone who actually believes in small government constitutional thing believe they could get the Democrats to agree to something that they liked?
Of course not.
I mean, he doesn't care. No. And The Blaze just posted a story kind of changing the subject. And this is where we have to stop making this about a cult of personality. I mean, that's what we have. We have a personality cult. Mm-hmm. Let's go back to the basics. The Blaze just printed this story. Roger Daltrey, lead singer for the British rock band The Who, didn't mince words when it came to his opinion of Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton. Trump didn't win the election. Democrats threw it away by putting Hillary Clinton up. A dead dog would have won against her. Okay?
It's an interesting
and in
statement.
Many ways, if right. Hillary right. Clinton wasn't the Antichrist, as so many people believed, I mean, you could, mm-hmm. there, Hillary Clinton, and I agree, she's the worst, mm-hmm. and we wouldn't have gotten Gorsuch.
And you even say that after you got $107,000.
Yeah,
that.
Yeah, it was so $104,000. It was $104,000.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, and after tax, it was.
Oh, I got the other three. Yeah, she gave you three.
Did she give you three?
Wait, I didn't get anything.
She gave you three. Really?
That's unbelievable.
Jeffy got $275,000.
To not endorse.
He saw everything. You know,
I endorsed Jim Gilmore.
Right. That's right.
First of all, let's be clear.
She said, "I'll pay you $275,000 to continue that endorsement of Jim Gilmore." Which is weird.
It is weird.
By the way, on fake conspiracy theories, do we have time for an Alex Jones update?
Oh, sure.
Oh my gosh.
There's always time for Jell-O, and there's always
time for Alex Jones.
So what the hell happened with his Pizzagate apology?
Oh, right.
Remember we talked about this? This is a fascinating story.
If you don't know, he apologized to Sonic Ping Pong.
Comet Ping Pong. The pizza place
for saying that was the portal to an underground slave prostitution ring.
Yes. So, first of all, he also said Hillary Clinton has personally murdered children.
Yeah.
He actually said that quote. How he is not getting sued by Hillary Clinton for that? Because what evidence? I guess it's a public figure, so you can say anything you want.
Are you kidding me?
I mean, Hillary Clinton has personally murdered children.
170. What?
There's a list of some of them have to be children, right?
right. As long as they die before 24 or 27 or whenever it is.
26.
Now.
26.
By the way, most healthcare. People say now that under 30 you're still a child.
You only become
adult. Mm-hmm. When you turn 30, that's what most people under 30 now believe.
Wow.
So your dedication to the Clintons have killed children narrative, the Facebook meme that gets passed around a lot, is about the typical connection to the facts that Alex Jones has on any given story.
Yes, right.
So he comes out and he says, but then he comes out and somehow apologizes in this really formal thing. It was like, I used third-party materials that I did not, now I do not believe are accurate. And we apologize to Mr. Alifantis and his family. It was really like bizarre, totally out of character for this guy. So on February 24th, James Alifantis sends the letter from the attorneys and everything saying, hey, you better retract the stuff you said about me and my business. So they know it's kind of serious. What Jones does is the typical Alex Jones response that I didn't know he did. He went out and posted an hour-long rambling video in front of a gold curtain, according to CNN. I have not seen it myself. But he says he said that he was kind of retracting what he said after he got the letter initially. And he said, I kind of picked up with the Washington Post, New York Times, all them said, which wasn't even covering it. Everybody says a pizza place is doing this to kids. Everybody says a pizza place is doing this to kids. And he quotes the New York Times and Washington Post. That is not at all what either of those sources said they were doing to kids. And I was like, we never covered it. A pizza place? I went, whoa. And then they're in the news diverting us from all this other big stuff. He's standing in front of a gold curtain. At one point, he begins to exonerate Alifantis. I don't think Alifantis over there or any of those people over there, that DC pizza place where Podesta goes, even though they got weird acts going on there, people are like, we like kids and that's our preference. Yeah, we love kids. I don't know what the hell that is. Oh, there's a lot of weird crap going on. This is his apology. This is his first apology. Yeah, this is the first apology. Yeah. Then it's like, he says, it makes me think, well, what the hell is really going on over there? We get all these threats and these letters and, you know, all the rest of it, bringing up all these things, implying things we haven't done, trying to bring these things into where we covered, when they know where this stuff comes from. It came from WikiLeaks, all the stuff, the weird stuff that's in there. Then at the end, he says, I retract that about ping pong pizza. And this is the best part about this.
So, again, the theory of Pizzagate is there is a network of tunnels right, in the basement of Comet Ping Pong where they abuse kids and they call it pizza.
This is that the is greatest. I want to do a sitcom based in a pizza parlor that has something underneath that is dealing in, you know, human trafficking. And then you pop upstairs real quick because, you know, it's a I've got to get the calzone out of the oven.
I would not call it Comet Ping Pong.
No, however. I would not.
A, because they would probably
mine is Sonic you. Table Tennis.
Okay. But B, the reason why you wouldn't want to call it Comet Ping Pong if you had a network of tunnels abusing kids underneath is because not only is there not a network of tunnels underneath Comet Ping Pong, there is no basement. They don't even have a basement. The theory is based on a pizza place without a basement where they're abusing children.
Well, that's because you don't know how to get to the basement.
Of course, that's got to be
it. They don't have one now.
So he says in the first video, I retract that about ping pong pizza. There's not a damn basement. I don't think Alifanis is a pedophile. I've already said that, but that's not an apology. I'm covering this giant thing going on because of the Podestas and the stuff they're involved in. So he goes through that whole thing.
Is this before the one that he actually read?
Yes, this is the first apology, which is important
which
to
is,
know.
Right. Which is why he's doing the next apology.
Yeah, quick. We've only got a minute.
So he comes out and he gives this apology. They're, of course, not happy with it because he's basically calling him a pedophile again.
Really? Yeah. I don't know. They like children too much.
Children too much or whatever.
Something's going on over there.
So why did he come out with his formal apology? Why did it happen on that day? Well, it's very interesting because Texas law says if you said something and someone calls you out for a claim legally, you have exactly 30 days to publicly apologize for those actions. So this happened right at the deadline of the 30-day time period from the letter, which he's trying to get himself out of this lawsuit, which is, I mean, you read the quotes from Alifantis, it's clearly coming. I mean, they're definitely suing this guy.
Good.
But so that is what's coming up on the way. And that's that'd why the ridiculous apology.
Fascinating.
All right.
The Glenn Beck Program.
So I didn't realize that Stu really is our in-house go-to Alex Jones impersonator.
Oh, no question about it. Yeah.
I mean,
Alex Jones and Don Imus. Stu's your man.
Oh, my gosh.
He's your man.
A wide array.
Yeah. Is Don, well, that's better than me. I can only barely do Adam West for Batman.
Well,
not a big call.
You do
for
Adam
that.
West
and the blueberry pie lady.
Give us a little.
I do. I got two. Two.
You do Aunt B.
Yeah, Aunt B.
Aunt B.
Aunt B.
That's what I said.
Andy, cool beer, and the blueberry pie.
Mrs. Doubtfire as well.
That's out of the park.
Mrs. Doubtfire, dear.
Oh, yes.
That's not really what we do here.
No.
Pat is the only one who actually could do it at all.
Yeah, but he didn't have these skills when I was... He could do Yoda.
Well, that's because the people...
I did some of them. I developed them kind of on my
years ago, the people that he does were alive. They're dead now. Yeah. He gets to do them.
I know.
Well, I didn't have you around. I had to do something.
Yeah, you gotta find some skill.
Some skill.
I couldn't drag that limp leg around forever. You had to learn how to walk on your own there, Pat.
All right. That's right.
Well, the Impression Castle opens up again tomorrow in 21 hours.
Very exciting.
We'll see you there.
This is the Glenn Beck Program. Mercury.